The sermon title today is The Fullness of Time. Our God is an all-knowing, all-powerful, and everywhere present God. Do you believe that today? And I believe that when God put man on this earth, He knew exactly how many resources that mankind would need to support human life until His Son would return. How much food could be produced in this world? How much oil that would need to be produced in this world? We need to stop worrying about the ozone layer and global warming and fossil fuels and start worrying about what they are going to do when people stand before a righteous and a holy God. And we can say, why are we not worried about all of these other things that our world seems to be so worried about and tries to get our focus that we need to be worried about them too? We need to be worried about running out of oil. We need to be worried about running out of food. All these different things that we are just doing to destroy the world when God, as an all-knowing God, He knew what He needed to put in place to provide all of those things up until the time that His Son returns to take us home. So if you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 today, Hebrews 1 and verse 3. In verse 3, it says, "Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power when He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." So upholding all things is that phrase that you see in there. The NLT says it this way, He sustains all things. This world sits in the palm of our God's hand. Everything is upheld and sustained by the word of Christ. In other words, things don't happen until God says that they will happen. Not before He says it and not after He says it. The power brokers in America and all of this world think that they are guiding this world and all the people in it and not realizing that all things are orchestrated by God. Now turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We're not going to stay very long in either one of these scriptures that we're going to go to, but I want to share them with you today. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. So Colossians 1 and verse 16, and verse 16 says this, "For by Him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him." And in verse 17, "And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist." Now let's turn to another scripture, go back to Ephesians. You're not very far from there, just go backwards. So Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. Ephesians 1 and verse 11. And verse 11, it says in Ephesians 1, "In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will." Remember when your kids were little and you used to be so proud of them because they could color and stay between the lines? But even when they colored outside of the lines, you still knew that there was a picture there, didn't you? There was still a picture of whatever that they were coloring. We might have been proud when they got outside of the lines, or might have been really proud when they kept it inside the lines, but still, even when they were on the outside, there was still a picture there. Well, no matter how far outside the lines man gets, no matter what evil this world experiences, God's will be done. So we know that no matter how we see it going this way or how we see it going that way, God is still orchestrating for ultimately His will to be done. We can prove this through the Christmas message. But before we go to there, turn with me to Proverbs 21 and verse 1. So Proverbs 21 and verse 1. Proverbs 21 and verse 1, it says this. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. The king's heart, the leaders of the world, are in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever that he wishes for it to turn. Now turn with me to another one. So world leaders think that they are leading. World leaders think that they are controlling, that they are dominating. But every world leader sits in the hand of a sovereign God. And even if they do not want to do it, they are still doing the will of God, because God will orchestrate his will to be done. So turn with me to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel. And we see this in the life of Nebuchadnezzar. So Daniel, get to it. It's after Ezekiel, after Jeremiah. Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. So Daniel chapter 2 and verse 20. In verse 20, he says this: Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and he raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding." At this time, Nebuchadnezzar ruled the known world. But who was truly in control? It was God that was truly in control. Now turn with me to Micah, one of the minor prophets before the New Testament, Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5, and we'll start getting into the Christmas message. So Micah chapter 5, verse 2. In Micah chapter 5, in verse 2, it says, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth are from old and from everlasting." Verse 2 again. "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet you, out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler of Israel." This, of course, is prophecy concerning the coming of the Messiah, the birth of our Savior that was born where? In Bethlehem. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 2. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, verse 1. So Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Verse 1 says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went out from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is what called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn." Between the prophecy that is shared with us in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, and the birth of Christ that we're reading here in the book of Luke, 700 years had passed. The prophecy was given 700 years before it was fulfilled. Look what God had orchestrated to make that happen. You think about it. He had to move all things so a Roman ruler would be put in place. And not only that, but a Roman ruler would call for a census to take place. Do you know that in the Old Testament, there are between 300 and 400 prophecies concerning Christ? Some say 300, some say 350, some say 400. And I looked at one author today that showed that there was 351 prophecies in the Old Testament that was concerning Jesus Christ and the coming of the Messiah. A professor calculated for even 8 of them. So we're going to take 351 today, and we're going to take 8 of those prophecies. 8 of those prophecies in the Old Testament, for them to be fulfilled, the odds would be a 1 with 17 zeros after it. Now think about it. It's not 1 in 1. It's not 1 in 10. It's not 1 in 100,000. It's not 155,000. It's 1 with a number 1 and 17 zeros after that. The odds are that that prophecy, only 8 of the 351 would be fulfilled. They give an explanation or an illustration that if you covered the whole state of Texas with coins a foot thick, that you would reach out and you would pick out the coin that had a mark on it. That's how we would say in this world illogical that it would be. The same professor said of Micah chapter 5 verse 2, he was a Christian, for it to be fulfilled, it would be 1 in 300,000. 1 in 300,000 that this prophecy given 700 years before it was fulfilled would be fulfilled. And you know what? It was fulfilled. That professor said this: rejecting Christ is rejecting a fact that Christ as a Son of God is proved more absolutely than any other fact in this world. Hallelujah! Any other fact in this world, the truth that we had a Savior that came, that He was born in Bethlehem, that He lived and walked this earth, that He died and He rose again, is more of a fact than a Columbus find in India, America, or wherever other country they thought that he found. You look at the history books today, it's more of a fact about Jesus than what is in your school history books today. More of a fact. There is more supporting documentation. Now turn with me to another scripture found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that we have talked a lot about in the last few weeks, but the Lord keeps leading us back to it. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you that the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." What Scriptures was he talking about? The Old Testament Scriptures. Paul went to the Jewish people to prove to them that Jesus was the Messiah. And if you don't accept Jesus as the Messiah, as your Savior, there is no one else you can turn to. He is the only one. He is the only one that came. He was the Messiah. He was the proven one. He was the one that was prophesied in the Scripture. Jewish people, get your head turned on straight. This is Jesus, and you need to believe in Him as Lord and Savior of your life. He says in verse 3 and verse 4, he says, "And that he was buried, that arose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, and that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain in the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, then last of all he was seen by me also as one that is born out of due time." He goes on to say, if this did not happen, we're wasting our breath. We're wasting our time. You are still in your sins, most pitiable. But people, the Apostle Paul was saying, it did happen. You need to turn your eyes and your heart and your life to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is nowhere else you can turn. I don't know how many times as a pastor I prayed for this church, I prayed for this ground, and I say, Lord, for every compass direction, from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west, may your Holy Spirit draw them into this place, so people to find Jesus as Lord and Savior. This needs to be a soul-saving station in the world in which we live today. There's nowhere else to turn. It's only Jesus. Amen. Now turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 4, we go down to verse 4. And it says, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Christmas story. To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. When you look at verse 4 again, it says, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of Mary, born under the law. It's amazing, isn't it? When we talk about the prophecy that was shared with us from Micah, that would be 700 years before the birth of Jesus, and He would be born in the exact same city that God said He would be born in, that was prophesied into Scripture. That is an amazing thing. An amazing thing. And the baby wasn't born early, the baby wasn't born late, the baby was born when? In the fullness of time. In the first Advent that we celebrate in the coming of the Lord Jesus, and we've been celebrating Advent weeks coming up to the time of Jesus, and what does that represent? It represents His coming. His coming. We celebrate His coming in the fullness of time. The Messiah was brought forth. That was the first Advent. Christ is at His second coming. The second Advent will come when? In the fullness of time. And that time has to be filling up, don't you think? If you took a glass and you kept pouring water in a pitcher and kept pouring water in a pitcher, you'd have to be that close to the top. We have to be that close through the fullness of time that the Advent is going to take place of the second coming of the Lord Jesus, and this church is going to be gone. And we say, come, Lord Jesus. We are ready to go. We are ready to go. Christians, I want to tell you more than anything else from this Christian message, don't you get discouraged about what's going on in this world. It doesn't matter what the media says. It doesn't matter what the news says. It doesn't matter what all those people are saying out there. It matters what God says. And nothing is going to happen before God says it's going to happen, because we can put our trust in the Word of God. It's unchanging and moving. Hallelujah. We thank Him. Be encouraged by that. I think a lot of our young people, they get discouraged because they go to school and they're talking about global warming. They're talking about fossil fuels. That, like, all the oil came from dinosaurs. Hello. We know that's not true. All these different things they continue to promote, continue to talk about. They continue to say the world is billions and billions and billions of years old, and the Bible says it's not. All these different things that they still continue to proclaim, still taking away from the Word of God, still trying to get our young people not to believe in the truth of Scripture. And let me tell you, there's more validation to the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ than there is a fossil fuel. Amen. We can put our trust in Jesus for all things. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before You today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank you, Father, for the security that we have in You. May we go forth with confidence and trust that You are our God, that Jesus is our Savior, that we're seated in heaven with Christ today, that our salvation, that we are sealed for the day of redemption. We cannot be taken out of Your hand, because we belong to You. There is nothing that we have to have fear about. Fear, love, perfect love casts out all fear. We are in love with Jesus. Jesus is my love. He is my first love. And I cast out all the fear around me. We're going to walk in the truth and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that during this holiday season, Lord, You would bless us. Lord, You would open the windows of heaven. Pour out upon Your faithful. And we praise You forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.